Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you the following story not because I think that somehow or another I am a wonderful role model, but rather as proof that even someone like me can maybe do some good with God standing beside me. Her name was Jade. She was in her early 30s, a single mom with four kids, all from different relationships. Only one of those relationships was a marriage, and that wasn't right now. She was also on a hospital gurney. When I met her, she was the victim of a car accident. I was a hospital chaplain intern one summer while I was in seminary. I was a chaplain in a hospital in Fargo, North Dakota. Spent an entire year there one summer. And oh my goodness, it's a whole nother story, all right? We were 5 weeks into our program and it was my weekend on call. And so it was Friday night, moving closer and closer and closer into Saturday morning when my beeper went off. I hightailed it to the emergency room and I met the gurney when it arrived. But see, I left some time so that the doctors and others could begin treatment. But of course, I was praying the entire time. Finally, there was a break in their action and I stepped in. She had tubes and wires all over her. Her leg was isolated. Her arm looked really bad. I introduced myself and I merely asked if there was anything that I could do. Her eyes met mine in the midst of her pain and she said, "Call my mom. Someone has to be with my kids." And so I got the number and her mother's name and I rushed off to the chaplain's office and the available phone. It felt good, actually, to have something to do. You know, most of the time as chaplains, we pray and we comfort and we do stuff like that, but it felt good to have something real to do. And so I called Jade's mom. It was very now early in Saturday morning, and I explained that I was a chaplain from the hospital, that her daughter Jade had been in an accident, and that Jade had wanted her to go to the house and be with her children. I told her mom to call me when at the chaplain's number when she got over to Jade so that I could then update her as I had time. Quickly, I ran back to the ER as they were beginning to wheel Jade up into surgery. And I told her that I had spoken to her mother and that it looked like everything would be all right. She smiled at me and she said, "Charlene needs Tylenol." And then the elevator closed. Back to the chaplain's office, I went filling out forms and doing paperwork while waiting for the call from Jade's mom. And it actually came fairly quickly. Jade's mom had arrived. The children were all sleeping in the living room like they had been waiting for Jade. I told her what Jade had told me about Charlene and was told that that all made sense now. See, Jade's youngest child was named Charlene and she had been running a fever. The mother must have been, they must have been out of Tylenol at the house, and that was why Jade was out while the kids were all together back at home. I told her that Jade was heading up into surgery and asked her mom to call back when she was ready for more information. I stayed that night in the hospital waiting for word or for a telephone call. Jade made it through surgery and was placed in a room on the orthopedic floor. I stepped in to see that she was well, and that's when I got a call from her mother. I filled her in on all of the information post-surgery, including then her room number in the hospital. Later that Saturday afternoon, I met Jade's mother in Jade's room. I introduced myself. She thanked me. She said that her sister and a friend of Jade's were watching the kids so that she could come and be here. Jade was still sleeping from the anesthesia, so I left with promises to return. And actually, as I was leaving the room, I asked how Charlene was feeling and was told that everything was all right. That began my daily visits to check in on Jade. During the week at the hospital, one of my regular floors was the orthopedic floor, and we were supposed to stop in and visit every room every day as a chaplain intern. I discovered in those meetings that Jade was not a real churchgoer and that she was really embarrassed as I would ask questions about her kids, because somewhere in the back of her head, she knew that all of those relationships were not something she should be proud of. I just listened. I had learned a hard lesson earlier that summer about talking too much. And she just told me her story. She didn't know if she had ever been baptized because it had never really come up before. She spent most of her time, she said, not thinking about God and hoping that God wasn't spending too much time paying attention to her. When she said that to me, though, she kind of snorted and she said, if God hadn't been paying attention, she probably wouldn't be here with all of these problems. And at that, I told her that I knew that God loved her. I told her that the accident was not a punishment from God. It is not a judgment for her bad behavior. Our God is a God of life, and He wants us to have that life abundantly. And I told her that God cares about her. She shrugged and said it seemed strange if this was caring. I reminded her that she was alive. And then we talked about today's gospel story, about that Syrophoenician woman coming in and just pestering Jesus. I wanted her to see that Jesus never thought that anyone was too wicked or too bad or too lost. That foreign woman showed great faith, as did the deaf mute. The world had written them both off as hopeless, but not Jesus. I told her that Jesus was with her now in her pain, that Jesus was with her children, and that God loved them all. Was God saddened by some of the choices that she had made? Yes, of course. But the same thing was true about me and about everyone else. I didn't pray with Jade the very first day that we talked. In fact, it took until about the third day before we were praying together. But by the time she was released, she had me paged so that I could say goodbye and share one last prayer. She also told me that she was looking into having her kids baptized. I didn't cure Jade. A good surgeon, good care, lots of therapy afterwards, all of that cured her. Now, maybe I did help with the healing. Maybe I helped her to see and to reach for the wholeness that she has from God. I hope that I helped her to see that Jesus isn't waiting for us to somehow or another bend over backwards for Him to be in our lives, because Jesus is already there. Isaiah, in the reading we just heard, he tells us that here is our God, reminding us that we don't have to go and search. We don't need a quest. We don't need a pilgrimage. We don't need to move to some foreign land and devote our lives to helping the poor people over there, because God is here right now. Christ is with us. Last week, we heard Jesus teach us that nothing from outside of us makes us unclean. This week, we hear that there is no person so unclean that God will disregard them. Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus. She was a foreign woman, an outcast, seeking help for her daughter, and Jesus helped. The deaf mute was brought to Jesus, with most people believing that his own sin had caused his distress. Jesus helped. Jade came, a victim of a drunk driver, and most people would have dismissed her as a hopeless case. Jesus was with her. We come to our Lord, sinners, lost, searching for forgiveness and life and salvation, and Jesus is here already with love, care, with all that we need all the time. Jesus cured some, but He heals us all. The healing that we receive from Jesus is a wholeness in our relationship with God. Instead of being broken by sin, we are whole and one with Christ, with God, with one another as we live our lives. There is still pain. There is still weakness. There is still a daily struggle. But our good news today is that our relationship with God is whole and well as a gift, and that there is nothing that we can do that will ever make Jesus stop offering that gift to all of us. The gift is here. Let us celebrate these gifts and share them always. Amen.